In a roundabout way, our first story is connected with the world's oil supplies, because some very smart people in Australia reckon there could be some positive spin-offs for wool growers from the move by the world's oil-producing countries to cut supply of crude. For a start, it may force up the price of synthetic fibres and increase demand for our wool. And it may also spur on development of a safe, efficient and affordable alternative to petrochemicals that's straight off the sheep's back.
This is not so much a yarn about value-adding wool as it is about the byproduct that's turning out to be nearly as valuable as the golden fleece itself. Wool grease is the natural oil that helps make wool water repellent, protecting sheep from the harsh effects of weather. Secreted by the sheep's skin, it continuously collects on the wool so that by the time the fleece is harvested, it makes up between 15 and 25% of the total weight of freshly cut wool. The ancient Greeks were among the first to seize the potential of this natural emollient as a preservative, protectant and lubricant for use in things such as ointments and on everything from clothing and shelters to spears. While this rather crude use of wool grease continued from about 700 BC onwards, it was the late 19th century before a process was developed to refine what we now know as lanolin. These days, it's recovered during a three-stage wool cleaning or scouring process. It's separated from the fleece by a solvent extraction in a process not unlike dry cleaning clothes. After removing the solvent, dirt, debris and whatever a sheep may be rolling around in, you're left with a sticky substance a bit like petroleum jelly. The Adelaide-based G.H. Michel Company is the largest exporter and processor of Australian wool. Almost 500,000 bales, or 15% of the wool clip, is processed at this plant. Michelle's produces about 250 drums of lanolin each week. Almost all of it is exported, destined to be further processed into a surprising range of highly value-added applications, from cosmetics and pharmaceuticals to soaps, polishes, paints, putties, and protectant coatings. A few years back, it was worth just 50 or 60 cents a kilogram. But these days, lanolin can fetch $3 to $4 a kilo, making a 200-kilogram drum of it worth nearly as much as a bale of wool. Yet that's just a fraction of the lanolin we send overseas, when you remember that it's stuck to three-quarters of our clip that goes abroad as greasy wool. And just as there are a lot of people who'd like to think we could add more value to our wool before sending it overseas, there are some who reckon we could be doing a lot more with the wool grease as well.
And as I said before, targeting the major industries, the export potentials of this product, and what it can really do for the environment and cleaner production.
So in a sense, you want to keep the potential of that, particularly the export potential, within Australia rather than just exporting it as another raw material along with the wool.
Well, that's right, and I think the farmers should have some involvement in this. Either some of the benefits going back to the man on the land or into planting trees, or maybe a wool growers cooperative being involved in this product so that we can always secure plenty of wool grease and gives them an opportunity too to make something out of it, because it does belong to the man on the land.
Jeff Boyle's been a boxing champ, a ringer and a racehorse trainer in a knockabout working life that's taken him from one end of the country to the other. He's been in Brisbane for the past few years, tinkering with an idea he's had since he worked on fishing boats in North Queensland. Jeff takes the raw material straight from the scourers, and through a series of processes he'd prefer to keep to himself, he further purifies, filters and distills it into a range of food-grade quality liquid lanolin products and greases.
Well, basically what I was after is a product that not only had lubrication, but corrosion protection properties. So, and also the versatility of a product that could replace a lot of petrochemical products and yet have the versatility and the bio-friendliness to go alongside with it.
Like a lot of promising projects, Jeff figures so far this has been 1% inspiration and the rest perspiration. How hard is it to get a new product like this off the ground?
Very hard, very hard. And that was a big problem there for a long time, you know, like leaving North Queensland and coming down to Brisbane. And once I developed the product and done me testing, then started knocking on doors, you know. And instead of just going straight to the boating community, I went straight to the major players like your Energex and councils and railways and mining, and which took a long time for them to do their testing and start giving the product a bit of a thumbs up.
So I use it in my workshop. I use it on a multitude of things. Sticky windows, door keys that won't work, people's petrol caps that won't come undone, leather, shoes that are not weatherproof. Spray it on your shoes, they become weatherproof within minutes, basically. It's just an amazing product, and it's all natural.
Mike Pierce is a mechanic who figures if anyone knows the value of wool grease, a Kiwi would.
Well, a lot of people sort of compare it to WD-40, which is probably the most obviously known one, and I think there's a difference. It's like chalk and cheese. This product you can use on just about everything. It's not a water dispersant agent like WD-40, but it treats metal to stop the water impregnating it, stop rust getting in, or if you've got a really rusty object, if you drop it in lanolin, pull it out again, it'll start working within hours.
But there's a particular pet project out the back that really sold Mike on lanolin. He rescued this old paddock basher, a 46 Ford Ute Coupe, a year or so ago from a property at St George.
That's as it came, pretty much rusty state. And then we took it down, sandblasted it, brought it back here straight from the sandblasters, and then coated it liberally with lanolin. It's been like that approximately 18 months. It's been fairly much in the weather, and we're only one street back from the bay. So salt water's pretty prevalent around here, and it says it stayed.
He hasn't even had time to give it a lick of undercoat, yet the woolly waterproofing seems to be working better than a tarpaulin.
We use it when we weld. It's an anti-spatter. You can paint over the top of it. So after doing some work on the vehicle, we can, instead of just undercoating it and having to treat it all again, just walk away from it, come back to it 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months later, and it's still exactly as you left it. It hasn't rusted and there's no surface rust, so it's brilliant.
For me, it's replaced a whole shelf full of stuff, and it does just about everything better again.
John Ruth grew up on a sheep station in the Flinders Ranges and was curious whether lanolin would perform as well in the big smoke as well as he remembered it did in the bush.
You know, one of the first things I thought about when all this was happening was our old sheep yards. You know, you never see a sheep yard eaten by white ants or bolts rusted away or any of that sort of stuff. But
given his upbringing, John was also aware that wool grease had fallen out of favour because of the strong chemicals like DDT and arsenic that were routinely used to combat lice and fly strike in sheep. They were readily absorbed into the wool grease, virtually shutting down the viable extraction of lanolin. It's taken the advent of more environmentally sensitive treatments for sheep, better ways of decontaminating wool grease in the scouring process, and a rigorous testing program to give lanolin the all clear and a new working life.
Everybody that I've passed a can to or let use some of mine or whatever has come back with much the same story, you know, where can I get it? And you don't get that with a normal product, I mean.
It's a question that crosses Jeff Boyle's mind too. As word spread and demand grows for his products, he faces the curse of all successful small businesses, growing pains. His pilot production plant here is now stretched to capacity, He needs to expand, but most of his startup capital has been sunk into proving the lanolin products perform and that they're safe.
As far as R&D, I've spent a lot of money on R&D, and to get government assistance is very hard. So I've had to fork all that out myself.
We first started using the product, obviously, in lift chains and our container lifting equipment, and with great success. We found it, the wear component dropped, and obviously the lubricant kicked in, and it helped us greatly. So,
have you been able to sort of quantify what sorts of savings and what sort of improved performance?
Well, basically, we've been able to extend our chain maintenance from a weekly lubrication to a monthly lubrication, and you know, we've been doing that now for the past 12 months with great success. As you can see, with the so many moving parts in these chains, you really need a lubricant that will penetrate in and provide the links and the pins as much lubrication as possible, because we're looking at thousands of dollars worth of chains. So any cost savings due to that is a big bonus to the company.
There is no more corrosive environment than a fertiliser plant. Especially with our location, straight beside the Brisbane River on one side, and on the other side we have a creek off the river, Doboy Creek. So we're pretty well surrounded by water, seawater, and close to the mouth of the river also.
He was impressed with the preliminary results of a trial where one coat of lanolin replaced a three-coat treatment that normally took 10 days to complete.
As you can appreciate, every hour and minute of the day is crucial to InsideTech. So, yeah, if we can look at reducing our turnaround time on the jobs, again, that's certainly an advantage to InsideTech.
But more importantly, what appealed to the company was that the product is safer to handle than many of the alternatives.
The fitters and tradesmen working in the conditions all day, they've found it well to use. You know, you can apply it in the morning, it's still there in the afternoon. And at the end of the day, I'd rather see a squirt of lanolin going in their toolbox than in the past, all the nasties going up into the air and into their lungs and basically all over our floor and eventually into the drains. So, My technicians are telling me that they haven't found a better product, they haven't used a better product.
In central Queensland, the heavy-duty liquid lanolin is being used by contractors working on raising the height of the Awonga Dam by 10 metres. A $106 million project will triple the dam capacity from 250,000 to 800,000 megalitres to meet the current and projected water needs the city of Gladstone and its expanding industrial base.
We're working in a dam and we're very conscious of making sure what we leave behind, it's in the same condition that we arrived. We look for products that leave a positive impact, and this product certainly helps us achieve that goal. We're currently using it on our formwork. It is used to seal the formwork and to help us with our stripping of the concrete works.
It's a lot better on the ply. It seems to make it last a hell of a lot longer, because that is 9 pours old, that ply, and like I said, it you know, it's nearly as good as when we first started. So for us, you get more uses out of the ply, and it doesn't get waterlogged because we're using a high volume of water to green cut.
Yes.
And then the concrete gets cured for 7 days with water on it. This is constantly covered in water, and like I said, it doesn't swell. So we put it on the back of the shutter as well to stop the timbers swelling as well.
Yeah.
And it seems to work out just fine. So in that respect, it's best stuff we've used so far.
Downstream at Gladstone's Botanic Gardens, they're pretty careful about what ends up in their waterways too. Over the past 13 years, it's become a popular recreation reserve and a refuge for the area's wildlife.
The gardens were well planned, and I think that's probably the big success with them. There's clear wheelchair access right through the gardens, which make it very accessible to everyone.
You've got a lot of timber work here, observation towers, kiosks, and of course all this decking and bridges and so forth. What was the challenge as to how you would preserve that?
Well, that's the thing. There's a lot of substantial timber. Some of these timbers you can see here are 12x3 spotted gum that you just simply wouldn't see anymore. Even if you could afford it, it's not really available, that sort of timber. So it's to the stage there now where the timber's about 12 to 13 years old, and it's fairly crucial that we start preserving it. And obviously in an environment like this, anything that's even slightly toxic to the waterways or the plants could be quite a problem. So we were quite impressed with the landland when it came along to see it used. Certainly we've got a lot of timber work scattered throughout the city, a lot of timber boardwalks and a lot of construction going on. So if it proves successful, we'd certainly like to try it further.
The idea for a homegrown industrial application of wool grease initially came to Jeff Boyle when he was working in the fishing game. So it's not surprising a lot of boaties are pretty stuck on the stuff. The company that runs a fleet of high-speed passenger ferries on Brisbane's Moreton Bay was one of his first customers. And quite literally, they spray it all over the boat.
You can see there where the lanolin's actually building up over time. A real slippery surface on it. Helps a boat go through the water, a lot more efficient. So far we've found it saved us about 50 litres a day on fuel, just from changing to the lanolin. You get the same life out of it as any fowl, so it's a much greater improvement.
You're tending to have to put more coats of it on though, is it, you know, more treatments compared to conventional antifouling?
No, we've found that we use the same amount of lanolin as we did with the antifoul.
So with none of the environmental downsides, though.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's great for the bay and the marine park.
So 50 litres of fuel saving a day over 12 months, it's quite a saving, isn't it?
Quite a substantial saving, yeah, especially when you times that by four boats as well.
Have you got a sense, you know, of what the rival companies to this product are sort of thinking about this sort of this upstart, this wool grease monkey?
Gee, I don't know, you know, because if they've tried it, they're going to be severely disappointed in their own product. Very much so. I'd imagine that they're probably so big, they're probably thinking this is just some little fringe product, it's not going to hurt us. In that case, they're in for a hell of a shock, I think.
We like to support Australian-owned companies, and like I said, it all comes back to performance and results, and if you've got a product that's Australian-made and it's providing results, well, you know, that's fine by us to use.
And Jeff Boyle hopes Aussie wool scourers will show the same sort of loyalty when it comes to supplying the raw material.
It's just as easy for them to sell the product to me as it is to export. You know, I'm still going to have to pay premium. But I think there's companies out there that would show their loyalty for these products to be used in Australia. Yeah.
Who knows, down the track, some of the success of this venture may even rub off on better returns to wool growers.
Carnarvon.